Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can just take your seat. Let's listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Something's happening in this room. Be attentive now.
For I am the Lord your God. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the God of Gods. I am, and nothing is too hard for me.
Right.
I am the great God. I am awesome. I am high and lifted up, says the Lord. All power is in my hand. Mm-hmm. All the glory, all of it belongs to me. And I would say this to you, my people, this day, look up. Good days are coming, says the Lord. Let me explain, says God. I am the one. I prove I'm God by speaking before. I prove I'm God by telling you what's going to happen,
yes,
and
yes,
it happens.
Yes.
I am the Lord. I am omnipotent. I am omniscient. I am omnipresent. I am high and lifted up. I am the sovereign God. I am eternal. I am immutable, which means I never change. And I would say this to you, many of you have heard my call. Many of you have heard my voice. Many of you have sensed my vision for your lives.
Yeah.
And you have wondered, where is it, Lord? I feel like Joseph. I feel like I've spent so much time in the pit. I spent so much time in Potiphar's house. I spent so much time in the prison. But hear me, says the Lord, just as I called Joseph from the prison to the palace, I'm calling you now.
Come on.
Come on. I'm calling you up now. I'm calling you up now.
Yes.
For I am enlarging your vision.
Right.
And I'm enlarging your borders, says the Lord. For the gift of leadership is on this church. The gift, the anointing of leadership is on this place. And every single one of you are going to experience shortly the elevation of God, the promotion of God, the lifting up of God, because I'm giving you more responsibility.
Wow. Wow.
That you may influence for me,
wow,
says,
wow,
the Lord. I'm going to place you.
You,
I'm elevating you. I'm promoting you. You will ask, how did I get here? Well, I have taken you, my Josephs, I have taken you and placed you and positioned you. And I prepared Joseph's heart for the palace. And I have prepared you, says the Lord.
Awesome.
And I am now saying, it is time to move into the new realm of leadership.
There it is.
The new realm of authority. The new realm of dominion. The new realm of promotion. For my grace and my favor is on you. So be encouraged this day, says the Lord.
Awesome.
Receive my grace for encouragement. Some of you are barely hanging on, it seems like. Some of you are barely holding on. But this day, be encouraged.
Come on.
This day, be strengthened. This day, receive new faith. This day, receive my favor. This day, receive my grace, says the Lord. This day, mercies abound for you, says God, and I will help you. So, Noel, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready for promotion. Get ready.
Amen.
For I have called for the leadership to go forth from this house. I have commanded it. I've commanded leadership on this house. Get ready to lead. And I will be with you, and I will help you, and I will strengthen you. And I am speaking, I am saying, yes, I'm promoting you, says the Lord. And everything you need. Joseph was positioned to lead and to bless. And my grace and my favor are on you, this people, to lead and to bless, to lead and to bless And many shall receive hope through you. And many shall receive a new lease on life through you. And many shall see new vision through you. It's my favor. Mm-hmm. It's my heart. It's my grace. I'm with you, says the Lord. Be with me, says your God.
We receive it. We receive it. Awesome, awesome. I think you turned it off. There you go.
Many of you are before a Jordan River today. And many of you don't see how you can get across.
Right.
But I believe that today is
That's
a day
right.
that you're to
That's
step
right.
in.
That's
just
right.
like Joshua did. Mm-hmm. He sent the priests before. And when they put the soles of their feet in, mm-hmm. their feet got a little wet. Your feet might get a little wet, but as you step in, the way is going to open up before you. I see it in the spirit, and so I'm encouraging you today to let your faith levels rise.
Yes.
Because as you step into your Jordan, as you step into ways that you don't even see how you can get across, mm-hmm. the Lord's going to meet you, and he's going to cause that way to open up in front of you.
Come on.
It's going to be miraculous. So be encouraged today because he is on the move. And this is your time, church. Step into the things that God has for you and watch the promises of God come to pass.
This is the word of the Lord. These are true words. If that's you, if you're out of Jordan, something that's blocking your way, I believe the Lord is authorizing you to step forward in faith. What has to happen, we can't just stand and see the problem. We have to have faith that as we take a step, God is going to make a way. And if you're here and you've just been thinking, I think this is God, I hope this is God, I believe it's God, but something is resisting you, something is holding you back, I believe if you'll stand, we're going to have prayer together right now. I believe miracles are going to be released in people's lives today. So if that's you, just stand up. If you're feeling resistance, you're feeling you're out of Jordan, and you're ready to step through and say yes to what God is saying, it's just by faith. Now, here's what we do. We're going to pray, and then we're going to make a decision. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for every person who stands at a Jordan River. Lord, there may be a flood. It may look impassable. It may look impossible. But Lord, as we take that step of faith, we believe, Lord, that you're going to make a way where no way exists. And God, we declare that we believe you more than our own fears and more than our own doubts. Lord, we make the choice to trust you in this time, Lord, when you are moving people into the fullness of what you have for them. And Lord, I release, Lord, these prophetic words, and I say, Lord, that we are going to enter in, every one of us, into the fullness of what you have for us, Lord. That we are going to cross over into the fullness of what you have. Right now, Lord, we make this choice. Now, I want you just to pause in the presence of the Lord and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, if he will. There is something that you need to do this week, maybe today. You've been thinking, I don't know if I should do that, but I think it's the Lord, but I don't know what to do. And I'm telling you right now, you need to make a decision. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the phone call. I'm going to take the step of faith. I'm going to begin to move forward. It doesn't have to be huge, huge steps. Just that first step toward what you believe is God. And I know that as you do that, even as we've heard today, as you do that, heaven's power is going to come to earth. Now, Lord, sanctify these decisions that we make and help us to believe and to move forward, Lord. You will not delight in us if we draw back. Help us to move forward. We thank you for breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And we declare today as a day of breakthrough and decision that we are moving forward. Say this prayer with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, fill me with faith. Fill me with wisdom. Fill me with vision. Give me courage. Today I say yes to all that you have for me. I will obey you, Lord, and I will be blessed. I declare it. I decree it. I prophesy it. In Jesus' name, now shout hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. We believe you for it, Lord. Hallelujah! Praise God. Give Get ready for breakthrough. Amen. Say that to about three or four people before you're seated. Just say, get ready for breakthrough. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, worship team.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Let's get into the message. There's a teaching outline on a chair right next to you, and just want to welcome you if you're in the cafe. What's going on, cafe? Glad you guys are there. And if you're in the family lounge, or maybe you're listening online all over the world right now, we welcome you into this new series, which I'm really excited about. It's called One Day, Hope in the End Times. I want to tell you that you are living in the end times. However, that should not scare you. It should actually excite you that you are living in a time in the earth like no other time. And so many times when people start talking about the last days and the end times, it's just such doom and gloom, but not me. I am excited because I'm a Bible reader, and when I read my Bible, I see what God has planned for the end times, and it fills me not with fear, it fills me with hope. So I'm excited to be able to share this with you. And before I read our verse and before I talk to you about the subject of the return of the Lord, I want to introduce you to the dog that I grew up with. His name is Davidson. He was my brother's dog. We had white German shepherds. The first white German shepherd, his name was Harley. And so the second one, his name was Davidson. And so Davidson was a great dog and very, very faithful, super smart, and very loyal, especially to my brother, who was his master. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that you might not believe, but I want to let you know that every word that I say about this story is absolutely 100% true. Sometimes I don't even tell this story because it's almost far-fetched. But here's what happened. I grew up in the hills of Hayward, in the hills and canyons up by Cal State Hayward in the East Bay. And we had three dogs, two Great Danes and Davidson. We had a pretty big dog pen in the backyard, went through about 50 pounds of dog food every week. 50 pounds of something else. But we dealt with all of that, and and so we're dog lovers. We love real dogs and big dogs. And not rodents, you know what I'm saying? Dogs. and because we're up in the kind of in the hills and canyons up there, there were deer and there were raccoons and critters and so on, and dogs bark. One night, Davidson was just going crazy in the middle of the night. He was just barking for all he was worth, and we didn't really pay a lot of attention to it because, maybe it was a deer, maybe it was a raccoon or something. The dogs kind of sometimes go crazy. It lasted for a few minutes, and then it stopped, and that wasn't all that unusual. But after it stopped, and then the next morning came, we went outside and realized that Davidson was missing from the pen. The Great Danes were there, but Davidson had, jumped the fence, basically. And that was surprising. What would cause him to leave in the middle of the night? And then we did a little more exploring. We went around to the side where the garage door was opened, and my older brother's 1972 black Harley Davidson Sportster was also missing. And that was when we realized that Davidson had made off with the motorcycle. No, that's not the conclusion that we came to. We thought, what in the world? We've been robbed and they stole our dog or something. We had no clue for about 3 days where either the dog or the Harley was until a neighbor down the canyon at the bottom, whose property, there was a creek that ran through that canyon, kind of below us, he called and he said, "Do you have a white German Shepherd?" We said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have a Harley Davidson motorcycle?" We said, "Yes." He said, "Because somebody abandoned a Harley Davidson motorcycle in the creek, and there is a white German Shepherd that has been here for 3 days, and he won't let anybody get near it." And so we realized that what had happened was somebody had tried to steal that bike in the middle of the night. Davidson saw it. He was going bananas. Somewhere in the process of that bike being stolen, Davidson got over the fence, ran off the guys. They gave up on, I guess they were going to hotwire it. They probably coasted down to the bottom of the creek. They gave up with that idea very quickly. And Davidson stayed with that bike, knowing that his master would return. This is why I love dogs. This kind of loyalty. And he was waiting. Now, I want to ask you a question. The reason I tell that story is I want to ask you a question. Are you waiting with that kind of faithfulness for your master's return? Do you know in your heart that he is coming? And are you waiting for his return? I want to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Today, we're going to talk about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe your heart is going to be encouraged. 1 Thessalonians 4, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. I don't want you to be in sorrow, and I don't want you to have no hope. He goes on, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. A simple message of hope today. We can live with hope, persuaded and believing that one day Christ will return for those who love him. Can I have a hallelujah? Now, for many people, the coming of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ seems a little far-fetched. It's like, oh boy, you know, we've been hearing this forever. In 1914, the Jehovah's Witnesses publicized ahead of time that Christ would return on a particular day. Sure enough, the day came, and they were wrong. How many of you are around in the 80s, and you bought the book, 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return? Do not raise your hand. I know you're ashamed. Ed Wiseman sold that book. He sold 1 million copies of that book. And then when Jesus didn't come in 1988, like he said, then he reprinted the book with different math and sold another 1 million copies. Can you imagine? I was wrong, but I got my math right. I'm sorry. I was a year off. He's really coming this year. Sold another 1 million copies. No coming. And then as recently as, 2011? Harold Camping, who's now in heaven and knows better, predicted with precision, boasting, the Bible promises it. The Bible guarantees a certain day and time that Jesus was going to return. Let me ask you the question. What part of no man knows the hour or the day? What part of that are we not getting? Nobody knows when Christ will return. So as a result of some of the crazy parts of the body of Christ, some of the, you know, end time fervor that kind of works up every once in a while. There's always a cycle, you know, things cycle through. Some things are hot for a while, then it fades, and then something else cycles through. And I've seen it for 1,000 years. That's why I don't jump on very many bandwagons. I'm on the Bible bandwagon. Amen. Whatever the hot thing of the day is. You know, the Bible says that in the end times, we should not be carried about by winds of doctrine. Blown here, blown there. Oh, this is the new thing. Oh, there's nothing new. It's all right here. Here's what we need to do. Keep it all together and keep it balanced. Don't worry about things that come and go. Now, but I think as a result, people have kind of like a resistance sometimes to believing for believing this Bible truth that Christ is going to return. But it is scriptural, and we shouldn't be defensive about believing that. It doesn't mean that we're cracked if we believe that Christ is returning, because it's what the scripture says. Now, Paul wrote these words that we read. He wrote these words because there was a young church, a new church, full of new believers that also had some questions and concerns about the end times. And Paul wrote to address these questions. See, in the church at Thessalonica, they were wondering, actually concerned, because they believed, like many Christians have throughout time, they believed that Christ was going to return in their lifetime. So these are first century Christians. They're brand new babes in Christ. They've come from pagan religions and everything else, and they get a hold of the idea that Christ is coming, and they go, well, he must be coming in our lifetime. The only problem was he didn't come in their lifetime, and some people were passing away in the meantime. So Christians, like my brother, my sister, my friend, my guy across the street, he loved the Lord, and he's dead. Is he going to heaven? What's going on? We thought he was coming. And so Paul wrote to calm them down and to help them to understand that one day Christ would return and that a certain sequence of events would take place, and that they should understand this sequence of events, and that as they could understand what was going to happen in the end time, they would be comforted and encouraged and live with hope. So these words, which were written probably one of the first letters that Paul wrote, one of the very earliest epistles to this baby church, was concerning the doctrine of the return of Christ. And he provides us with a revelation of Christ's return. So I want to share with you a few things that we find in this passage. And I'm going to share this teaching for about 5 or 6 weeks. We're going to talk about end time revival. We're going to talk about rapture. We're going to talk about the resurrection of the dead. We're going to talk about all kinds of cool stuff. But today, I want to lay the foundation with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of it. Number one, we find out in this passage the promise of his return. This is not a mystical thing. This is not speculation. This is not an opinion. Jesus Christ himself promised. And Paul the Apostle talked about a promise that comes from God. He said, we believe that Jesus died and rose, right? And so he said, that same faith is in us that Christ will return, and that those who sleep, those who have passed away, that they were concerned about, will rise from the dead and be with him. As sure as Jesus died for our sins, as sure as Jesus rose from the dead, do you believe that he rose from the dead? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Just the same, with the same faith, we believe that Christ will return. This is according to, not speculation, not even the thoughts of Paul the Apostle, not just what he wrote. This is according to the word of the Lord, the promise of Christ himself. And I can give you one scripture, but there are many scriptures where Jesus said, I'm coming back. Now, we know that Jesus was born. We know the Christmas story. We know that he came. He was born in a manger and he grew up. The gospel records that he lived and he ministered. He died on a cross and he rose again. That's called the first coming or the first advent. But he ascended to heaven. And so when we say Christ is coming again, that means just as he came that first time, now he's coming back. Only the first time he came as a savior, as a suffering savior to lay his life down for us. Second time he comes, he's not coming as a lamb. He's coming as a lion. He's coming as a king. And he's going to establish his rule in the earth. This is the promise that Jesus made, and he referred to it. For example, in Matthew chapter 24, he said himself, be alert. Live a certain kind of a lifestyle. Be like that dog in the canyon. Pay attention, because you don't know what day your Lord, your master will return. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm coming back, and pay attention. Now, anybody that tells you that they know the hour and the day, just pat them on the head and say, bless your little heart. Right. Right. Just pat them right there. Bless your heart. People think they know a lot of things, but Jesus said very clearly, you don't know. Everybody say this, I don't know. I don't know. Just be comfortable with that. There's mystery in our faith. We have the Holy Spirit. We have prophets. We have a lot of things, but there's a whole lot that we don't know. And we start saying that we know things that we don't know, and we just embarrass ourselves. Now, of all the list of things that we don't know, put this at the very top of the list of things that you don't know. Whatever Jesus said, you don't know. If he said you don't know it, you don't know it. Are we agreed? We don't know when he's coming. And we might have ideas, and we might have thoughts, and we might hear teachings and all that. Praise the Lord. But we don't know. But we do know that he is coming. Another story from my teenage years. I have a lot of crazy uncles. One of them, you know. Another one. Another one. Happened to be Italian. No, that's just a coincidence. He used to drive a tow truck on the weekends. He had a regular job through the week, and then on the weekends he worked for the AAA company, and you know, cars break down, get a flat tire, you lock your keys in your car or whatever, and he would be the guy to come. And I was 10, 11, 12, and we were friends, and so the coolest thing was to ride along in the tow truck with him. You know, and we'd go out and make these calls and, you know, get cars open that were locked. By the way, I know how to do that on the older cars, so. And so we would just have a great time, and it was, you know, it's just kind of a cool time. But the nature of a tow truck driver is when you get a call, you have to go. So he would say to me, David, I'll pick you up sometime around 3 o'clock. So me being the kind of person I am, I would be like at the window at 3 o'clock waiting. Okay, he's coming any minute. But if he had several calls, you know, finish one, and then he's got two or three more waiting, he can't leave those stranded motorists to come get me in the Hayward Hills so I can ride in his tow truck, right? So sometimes it would be a couple of hours before, past the time that he said that he would come, just because he was busy doing other things. We didn't have cell phones. That was back in the day. There was no Skype, no email, no, you know, just rotary dial phones. I don't know. Maybe you've never heard of those. But he didn't have one in his car, so he couldn't call me to tell me when he was coming. I just had to wait until when he was there, he was there. How many understand what I'm saying? But I always had a confidence in my Uncle Paul, because there was never a time when he said he was coming that he didn't come. He always came. And I always knew that he would get there as soon as he could. And I think that's the same kind of lifestyle. You got to watch, because you could miss. You could be wrong in your expectation of timing. So you've got to live the way Jesus said, be alert all the time. Just wait, be on your toes, you know, don't freak out. The sky's not falling, but pay attention, because there's never going to be a time where you should turn your back on the promise of his return. You may think, "Oh, we've got plenty of time." You don't know that. You may think it could not be today because this hasn't happened and that hasn't happened, but you don't know. So be alert, because Jesus himself has promised, and he will keep that promise. Amen. The second piece of this is the people that are involved in the return of the Lord. Now, when he comes back, he's coming back for people. And Paul reveals two kinds of people that Jesus is going to return for. And this begins to address the concerns of the Thessalonians, people that were losing loved ones. They were saying, man, my uncle and my auntie died, you know, and they love the Lord. Are they going to miss the coming of the Lord? Paul says two kinds of people. They're going to be people who are alive at the return of the Lord. There's going to be a generation of Christians, maybe it's ours, that are alive, that actually never drop in the box. You know what I'm saying? We're alive when he comes. And then there's going to be all the rest of God's people who have loved and believed in him who have passed away. Jesus is coming for both kinds of people. He said there are some people who have fallen asleep. Now, here's the hope. Concerning those who had already died, Paul says, no way, they're not going to miss the return of the Lord. Actually, they're with the Lord already, and when he returns, they're going to be raised up on that day. And we'll get into this. They're already with Jesus, and when he returns, we're all going to be together. Here's something for you to remember. Please don't forget this. When Christ returns, nobody who believes will be left behind. I know there's a big popular book called Left Behind, and most people are terrorized. And I get the question, do you believe that Christians are going to go through the tribulation? And it's because people are freaked out about the idea of being somewhere where Jesus isn't. Now, Jesus said, when everything is ready, I'm going to come for you. He made this promise. When everything is ready, I will come and get you. So watch for him. And I'm not necessarily taking a position on who's going to go through the tribulation or whatever. All I need to know is this. I'm not going to be left out nowhere. Okay. The Lord loves me, and he's coming for me, and I'm going to be with him. That's pretty much what I need to know. Whatever I have to face, whatever I have to go through, I'll be okay. But God isn't looking to frighten us or you know, intimidate us. God is looking to encourage us that he is coming again for his people. Third, and this is important, what is the plan for his return? The promise of his return is sure. The people of his return are all those who love Christ, all of those who have received. Listen, if you've never received Christ, you're not on that list. You need to make sure that your calling and election is firm. You need to make your reservation today by placing your faith in Christ and making sure he's not coming for the lost. He's coming for believers. All right. So make sure that's buttoned down, that you understand that you're saved and that you're in Christ. All right. But then what's the plan for his return? This is where Paul starts breaking out some details and some kind of a map where we can see some elements of the Lord's return. Now, people fuss and fight about these elements, but they are here. So let's look at them one at a time. First, there's a sudden appearing. Like a thief in the night, the Bible says. Christ is going to return. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day. But he is going to personally return from heaven. It's not going to be an angel. It's not going to be a symbolic return. It's not going to be a spiritual return. It's not going to be a global consciousness awakening. It's going to be Jesus, specifically Jesus in his body. It's not going to be mystical. It's not going to be like a whoop, what happened? I don't know what happened. When Jesus comes, you're going to know. In Acts, the first part of Acts, the first chapter, the story is told of the disciples. Jesus ascends, and they're all like, what is going on? And Jesus, physically, the walking around Jesus, the guy, went up. He ascended. And they're like, whoa. And the angel comes down and says, hey, what are you looking at? Why are you standing here gazing up? This same Jesus whom you have seen ascend will return to you at the right time. However, now go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so that's been our commission. We have received the Holy Spirit in the absence of Jesus. We have him with us now. But the same way that he went up, he is going to come physically down from heaven to the earth. And this will be visible. It will be literal. It will be personal. It'll be Christ himself. What a day that's going to be. One day that's going to happen. This is what the Bible teaches. But then in that moment, there's going to be a loud command. We're going to hear something. I mean, he's not going to slip in the back door quietly. He's not going to sneak anybody off. The Bible says when he comes, there is going to be a shout. There is going to be, and that Greek term, shout or command, is a military term. And if you've ever served in the military, you know that time when your commanding officer says, fall in. And if you were at ease or whatever you were doing, Your personal time is over. Your time of waiting and languishing without direction and without order is over. Now you fall in, you come into formation, and you stand at attention. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to do. Amen. That shout is going to be a summoning of everybody to get in their place and come to attention and watch what's going to happen. It's going to be a shout and a military term. And at that time, believers who have been asleep, this is the group that Paul was trying to comfort, concerning. Those people are going to rise from the dead. That the sound of that thing is going to pierce through the grave. And the bodies of departed loved ones, we know now, and I'll explain this next week, when you die, you are instantly with the Lord. Paul the Apostle said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the deacon, Stephen, was being stoned to death, he was dying as a martyr, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was instantly with God. So if you have a loved one that's passed away, they knew Christ, they are absolutely in the presence of heaven. But something is going to happen when Christ returns. Something is going to happen to their bodies. They're going to rise from the dead. They're going to receive a brand new glorified body. Now, these are mysteries, but it's going to start with the voice of Christ. Here's what Jesus himself said. I assure you, the time is coming when the dead will hear the voice, the command of the Son of God. And when they have heard it, they will live. When he gives that shout, there's going to be some miracles taking place. Imagine what that moment is going to be like. Then, simultaneously, there's going to be a glorious resurrection. This resurrection that I've been speaking of, and I'll speak at more length next Sunday on it. Paul said the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, who's the dead in Christ? Those who had faith, who have passed away. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then, by the way, the unsaved dead, they're going to stay in their grave until a moment called the great resurrection, the general resurrection, when all people who have ever lived will be brought before the throne in a time of judgment. We're going to unpack that as well. But now we're talking about believers. All believers from all times, from every country, from every nation, from every time frame, when they hear that sound, they will rise with brand new bodies. Think about this. Totally healed. Listen, we pray for the sick, and we believe that God touches sick people. Not everybody that we prayed for gets healed. I'm not going to lie to you and say every time we pray for someone, they absolutely get healed. That doesn't happen. But we do see people getting touched and healed. But the greatest miracle that ever has happened in terms of a healing miracle, the greatest story you've ever heard, is going to be nothing. Because the greatest miracle that we've experienced prior to the coming of the Lord is at best a patch job on a body that is mortal, a body that is dying. I don't want to depress you, but you're dying. You're mortal. But one day, you're going to receive a brand new body that does not break down, is not subject to death. Right? The Bible says to us now, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. None of us is going to live in our natural mortal body forever. We have to receive a heavenly body. And what I'm telling you is, believers from all time are going to receive, at the moment of rapture, a heavenly body. And it says, as Paul said, I mean, what a day that's going to be. Can you imagine? What a resurrection, what a time. Raised to life. People are going to be restored. People are going to, I'm not talking about a healing, a patch job, or a, you know, a temporary patch on a tire that's bound to wear out. I'm talking about a brand new body. I'm talking about your loved ones who struggled with mental health issues being raised with a perfect mind. Not a wrinkle. No cottage cheese on any part, nothing nothing funny, nothing sick, nothing working half the time kind of right if you stand in the right direction. I mean, it's a body like you were meant to have, a heavenly body, a glorified body, not a sick, decaying body that is wasted away. Here's what I love, the Living Translation of Philippians 3. Our homeland is in heaven, where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, and we are looking forward to his what? He's coming, right? We're looking forward to it. We're alert. We're like Davidson. We know it's going to happen. We're looking forward to his return. Now, when he comes back, he will take these dying bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own. Whew, how's he going to do that? Well, you see, he has something called mighty power. He has, I mean, the greatest miracle you've ever heard of, and I've heard some awesome stories. Some of them I even believe. The greatest one you've ever heard is nothing compared to what the mighty power of God can do. You haven't seen anything yet of what the Lord can do. How is he gonna resurrect from the ground every believer who has ever lived throughout all time? How is he able to do that? Using the same power that he has. You say, well, the world is going to hell. Everything's out of control. I'm going to tell you something. The mighty power of God is so present and available. And when Christ returns, we're going to see his mighty power. And what we thought was a miracle in our day is going to be a very small thing compared to him bringing under control everything on this planet by his power and his authority. No one will escape his righteousness. No one will be able to wiggle out and put it off and defer. And the world is kind of a crazy place right now, but let me tell you, when he comes back, he's going to fix it one day. Our broken bodies are going to be made new through the power of resurrection, the same life that Jesus has. Then a miraculous rapture. I'm running out of time, so let's just stop right now. No, I got to finish. A miraculous rapture that's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What's the rapture? Trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, will be changed. A miraculous rapture. The word rapture is actually not in our English Bible. It's a Greek word that means snatching away, catching away. And it's in this passage where Paul says the believers are going to be caught up. If you've ever knocked something, almost knocked something over and caught it, you know, just at the moment, that's rapture. So it's like the world is falling apart and the Lord is going to catch it. He's going to physically lift us into the air, according to Paul. We're going to be lifted into the air. We're going to meet all believers. Now, all believers from every age are being raised from the dead. What a crazy day that's going to be. And everything's happening. We're caught up in the air, and Jesus is returning at the same time. This is the plan. This is what Paul explains. And he says that it's going to be a rapture in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And finally, I guess it goes without saying, but in heaven, there's going to be an unending reunion. This is why I'm saying to you, we can live with hope. The world is spinning out of control in some ways. There's things happening we hate. We're very concerned about the Middle East. We don't like the diseases and everything that's happening. And all over the world, we're praying, and we're believing, and we're trusting God for our own nation. But don't you think for a minute that this thing is going to end bad. I want you to live with hope and understand that we're all going to be together with the Lord. We're going to have a reunion with Jesus. Every believer that's ever lived, your loved ones that had faith in Christ, you miss them so much. You're going to be back with your mother. You're going to be back with your father. You're going to be able to meet Paul the Apostle and Moses and Nehemiah. Stay away from Ezekiel. He's weird. But it's hard to understand. But imagine the reunion. Imagine. And imagine when we are with Christ. I don't mean we feel his presence. I don't mean he touches us and blesses us. You take the greatest moment of spiritual ecstasy and blessing that you've ever had in your life, and it's nothing compared to the fullness of being face to face with Jesus. Whatever stories people are telling you, they had an encounter, this and that, that's great. God bless them, but they've never been face to face with the Lord like this. And when that happens, we are changed, the Bible says. Beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be changed. We shall be like him, 1 John 2 says, for we shall see him as he is. We could not possibly, in this flesh and blood form, see Jesus in the fullness of his glory. One day, we're going to have a glorious reunion. And in that moment, we're going to understand all the resistance is over. All the pain is done. All the waiting has ended. All the hurt, all the rejection is healed. Our bodies are going to work with eternal precision, never to degrade. Not an ache, not a pain. And we're going to watch as the Lord gives the command, and Satan, who has tormented and troubled, is cast into the lake of fire. Yes. And so we shall ever be with the Lord in his presence. Do you have hope? You better believe it. Is it hard not to have a job? Is it hard to have a bad back? Is it hard to go through a divorce? You bet it hurts. But one day, my beautiful, believing friend, one day, that's going to be over. When Christ returns, the joy. And so Paul says, therefore, my beloved, be encouraged. Encourage one another with these words. Be encouraged. And let me just say this. We're going to have a time of worship here in just a minute. Let me just say this. People say, well, I don't like to study Bible prophecy because it scares me. I know what you mean. The way some people teach it, it's freaky. It's just frightening. But the purpose of Bible prophecy is not to scare you. The purpose of Bible prophecy is to reassure you if you're saved. Now, if you don't have the assurance of salvation, it's a reality check for you. You're sitting here today and you say, I don't know if Christ is my Lord and Savior. Well, hey, this message was a reality check for you because these things that I preached will happen. Christ is coming. So it's time to make arrangements now. It's time to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. We're going to have a few moments to pray after we have some time in worship. I want to just invite you to stand to your feet. And I want to just encourage you. Let's worship the Lord. Let's let hope and encouragement fill our lives. Pastor Nicole, Amy, let's sing. Let's your heads, everybody. Here's your job. Be like Davidson. Stay on it. Keep watching. Don't you quit. Stay encouraged. Because your master is coming. Eye hath not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. Father, I pray that a sweet spirit of encouragement, of hope would be birthed in every one of our hearts, especially, Lord, for those that are struggling, suffering. This world is a broken place. It's not working right. And we're caught in it. We have your promises. We have your precious Holy Spirit. But Lord, some things just aren't easy. And I'm asking, Lord, that a spirit of encouragement would rest strongly upon every person's heart. We wouldn't be so caught in today that we forget what's going to happen one day. May a spirit of comfort from the Holy Spirit rest upon every one of us. In fact, maybe you're here with a friend, a loved one. You could just put your hand on their shoulder, just right where you're standing. So many people are discouraged. So many people are broken and hurting. I think it'd just be fine for us just to pray for one another. Lord, I just impart, Lord, right now. We just pray right now for one another. Lord, let an encouraging, healing, strengthening spirit be poured out. Lord, I don't know exactly what's happening in the life of my friend, but I'm speaking life right now in Jesus' name. I pray your grace and your peace, Lord. And Lord, I pray if they don't know you, that they would know you this day, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's one more prayer that I want you to pray. Our prayer teams are going to come just at this time. You know, it's very important that you know that there is a place for you that you can receive prayer. Maybe you think, I don't know who could pray for me. I don't know who could I talk to. That's always going to be available to you at our church. So the prayer teams, would you just come? And as they come, I want to encourage you. Maybe you're one of the people that at the end of the service, you can come and talk to them. But maybe you're somebody here today, maybe too shy to answer an altar call. That's fine. The most important thing, maybe the most important thing is you make sure that you know Christ in your heart. And you can know. He'll come if you invite him. And I have a prayer on the screen. I'd like all of us to pray it. I think it's great. But we're going to lift our voice. And I ask you, if you would, in the cafe, wherever you are, listening online, let's say this prayer together. Come on, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the promise of Christ's return. I believe that one day, and I want to be ready. Lord Jesus, today I confirm that I trust you completely as my personal Lord and Savior. May I be faithful in waiting and living for you in Christ's name. Amen. I mean this with all my heart. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap. It is a precious thing for us to be together in God's house, for us to worship, for us to bring our offerings, for us to love each other, to greet each other, to hear his word, to experience the Holy Spirit. That is something very rare and so important. I'm so glad you came today. If you're new in the church, if I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hand, Kathy and I, and there's a lot of people around you. I'd love to meet you. Take a minute, greet one another, and if you need prayer, come join the folks right here at the front. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. I'll see you Saturday for the Freedom Expo, this Saturday. God bless.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.